Tezvav Amud Aleph. If you count up from the bottom of the Amud, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up. Holicho Zar. And if there's any background noise, I apologize for that. I'm in transit right now, so that's what I have. The Gemara brings a machlokas amoraim about the case of Holocha al Yidei Zar, or for that matter, Holocha al Yidei Pasul. Is it Efshal Letaken or is it Efshal Letaken? Holicho Zar, so it means that after the Kohen was Mekabel Adam in a Kli Shoreis, he handed over the Kli to a Zar, and he took the Kli and he brought it towards the Mizbeach. And in such a case, it was Holocha Psula. And we learned there earlier on Daf Yudalit Amud Aleph that a Zar is possible for not only Kabbalah and Zrika, but also for Holocha Sadam. Now, Chozar Volicho, Hechziro Kohen, in other words, after the Holocha on the part of the Zar, the Kohen brought the Dam back to the place, that point, where the Zar began to be Molech the Dam, V'chazar V'olicho. Now the Kohen brings it back with the Dam inside of it to the Mizbeach. So at the end of the day, it comes out that the Holocha was done Al Yidei Kohen Kosher. Pligi Bo B'nei Rab Chiyo V'Rav Yanai. Chad Omar Kosher V'Chad Omar Posa. According to one Mandi Omer, it's Kosher. In other words, since at the end of the day, the final Holocha was done by a Kohen Kosher, therefore the Holocha is Kshera. And the Gemara is talking about a situation where the Chazara, after the Holocha Sazar, was done by the Kohen. And therefore the Kohen is Machshir with a Holocha Kshera. That's according to one opinion. The other opinion says that the Karban is Pasul because the beginning of the Holocha was implemented by a posel. And the Gemara now clarifies what's the nature and the source of this machlokas. Mar Savar, according to one Mandi Omar, who says that since the Kohen did the final holocha to the Mizbeach, it's kosher, is efshar litakuna. You could be metaken and rectify the holocha psula by the Kohen who brought it back and replaced and reinstituted, shall we say, the Holocha Sadam. And in that sense, Holocha is unique amongst the Avodos, because obviously in the case of Shechita or Kabbalah Sadam or Zrika, if there would be an Avodah B'Psul, it would be impossible to retract the Avodah and repeat the Avodah and be Machshir it. And the reason for that is because in the case, for example, of Shechita or Kabbalah Sadam, it's Yefshal Lasos Pam No Sefes. You can't replace the Shechita. The Shechita is done. And the same thing with regard to Kabbalah Sadam, because the Kabbalah Sadam has to be from the Tzavar of the Behema, and you can't put the blood back and replace it into the Tzavar of the Behema in order to make a replacement, a second Kabbalah B'Kashrus. In the case of Zrika, you might ask if there's extra dam, what we call shirayim, and it's dam nefesh, can he replace the zrika? And the answer is no. Even with the nosar ha dam bekli, he cannot do a second zrika. Why? Because once the psul of zrika is done, that's irreversible. However, in the case of holocha, there's a possibility of being attacking it by bringing back the kli with the dam to the exact point from which the zar or whoever the posel was took it, and you're just replacing the holocha. However, there is a possibility theoretically of being attacking even a kabbalah and a zrika psula. For example, let's say that the posel wasn't mekabel adam, and the Kohen Kosher now could be chozer and be mekabel adam nefesh that was left in the tzavar. If there was still dam left in the tzavar behema, on that he could do a kabbal. So even though the zar was mekabel, he wasn't mekabel all the dam, even though the posel was mekabel dam, but he left some dam in the tzavar, the kohen now, who's kosher, can receive the dam from the tzavar, and he can be zorik that dam. That's in the case of dam hanefesh, where there's still dam hanefesh, and the kohen can now replace the original zrika. He can be mekabel dam, be zorik the dam, be machshir the korban. And we had quoted, if you remember, back on Daf Yudalit Amud Beis, the Chiddush of Rabbi Chil Michal Feinstein, who is of the opinion that the entire issue in the Gemara, whether it's Efshel Asakin Halacha or Efshel Atakin Halacha, when it was done with Psul, is only with regard to the Dam that was the Dam itself, that he was Molech Shalok Kedin. However, if there's still Dama Nefesh left in the Tzavra Behema, then he could be Choser, he could again be Makabal Adam, and be Zorikid on the Mizbeach, to be Machshir the Korban. Now we go to the Man Yomer, who says that even if the Kohen Kosher repeats, goes back to the point of Tchilas Holacha, it still is possible. And the answer is because since the Tchilas Holacha was done b'psul, there's no possibility of being machshir that holacha according to this Man Yomer. Mar Sovar Efshel Takuno, Mar Sovar Lo Efshel Takuno. Now, there's a short note here that I wanted to call to your attention, that the Gemara has a suffix here as far as holacha. I'm sorry, the Gemara above had a suffix about holacha shelo beregel with hoshata sayad, where that lends itself to tikkun or does not. And the final conclusion of that sugya was efshel etakna, that he can be chozer, he can go back to the original point where he is molech biyad, then he can be molech beregel. Here, in the case of holacha zar, whether or not there is chazora in order to be metakin al yidei kohen kosher, that's a machlok shin Reb Chi and Reb Yanai. Can you be metakin it or not? And Reb Chaim is famous for saying that the difference between holacha shelo beregel and holacha bizar is that whereas in the case of holacha shelo beregel, that's not a holacha at all, because that's another action. It's not holacha. He didn't carry the dam. So you can't classify that holacha as an avoda psula. Masha'enken, in this case of holacha beregel, which was done by a zar or by a posel, that, according to one Man Yomer, registers as a psul in gufa shel holacha. Now the Gemara quotes another machlokus with regard to holacha sadam, olicho kohen. So he had a kohen kosher who was molech the dam to the mizbeach, and then hichziro ladam. He brought the dam back, and he was marchik the dam from the mizbeach after he did holacha liyada mizbeach. And then v'chazav olicho zar, the second olacha, which was the final olacha, was done by a zar. Omer Rav Simi Barashi, l'divrei ha-machshir, posel. According to the Omer above, who said that if the zar was molech on the first round, and then the kohen was machzir the dam, and he was molech on the second round, the karbon is kosher. Here, in this case, posel. Why? Because just like before, the kohen was molech the dam, and he was mekarev the dam to the mizbeach after the tchilas holacha al yidei zar, and the second holacha replaces the first, and therefore the avodas holacha was done on the kohen in the second round, and that was machshir the karbon. Here in this case, where the zar was molech in the second round, he does the final avodas halacha, and therefore it's possible. So again, just to reiterate, according to the Man Yomer who was machshir in the original case where the zar started the process of halacha, it means that we determine the halacha by that final, in other words, the halacha that leads up to the zrik al gabi mizbeach. And the original halacha is completely undermined. It's completely dissipates. It evaporates into thin air. And therefore, the ultimate halacha is the halacha of the avoda. The shem avoda is chal on the last halacha that leads and culminates with the zrika sadam, with azor. So in this case, where the Kohen did the first Holochas Adam, but now the second Holocha was done by a Pasul, the Karbon will be Pasul. And that's called, in the language of Simi, is L'divrei HaMachshir Pasul. Now we have the other case, L'divrei HaPosel, and what we're saying now is that according to the Amora, who said that if the Tzar did the first round of Holocha and the Kohen did the second round, then the Karbon is Pasul because we put all the emphasis on the first, the original Holocha, and therefore Eif Shel Itakein Es Avoda. Here he would say Machshir, because since the first Holocha, which is considered the Avodas Holocha, was done by a Pasul, is therefore here the Karbon is correct that the first Halacha in this case that we're dealing with was done by the Kohen, right? Again, let's go over the case. Holicho Kohen v'chziro v'chazar v'holicho zar. So therefore the Kohen is kosher. Rava Omar, Rava disagrees, Rav Simon, he says afle divrei haposel posel. Even according to the Man D'Omer above, who says that since the first halacha was done by a zar, and here in our case the first halacha was done by a kohen, nevertheless our case with the first halacha was done by a kohen is possible. Why? My timer the hatzorach, and here we're turning to daf tes vavam beis, the hatzorach lam tuye, we need to bring back the dam and bring it closer to the mizbeach. In other words, Rav is saying that we can get you coming and get you going. We're going to get you coming in the previous case, L'divrei HaPosel, which means that since the Halacha Rishona was done al yidei zar, that itself registers as an avodah b'psul. On the other hand, we can establish that even in this case where the original Halacha was done by a Kohen, the Halacha Achrona is going to passel the Karbon. And why is that so? Because although it's true that the original halacha, the first halacha, registers and generates a psul as a vod of a psul, but nevertheless, there's another halacha, a tzveita din. And what's that halacha? That what is necessary for the zrikas adam? And again, since the halacha rishona was completely batel umavutal. Why? Because it's zero adam, verchiko me'amizbeach. In other words, even though the Kohen had brought the dam originally closer to the mizbeach, but now he brought it away from the mizbeach, and now we need desperately that someone bring the dam closer to the mizbeach in order to facilitate the zrika. So that last halacha is also going to register because it's absolutely necessary. It's a complete halacha gemura, and therefore, since it was done al yidei zar, the karbon is pasul. The gemara initially now is going to accept the opinion of Rava, but claim that this is really a machlokes tanoim in our Mishnah. Later, the Gemara Mirtz Hashem is going to completely reject Rav. Amale Ravino l'Rav Ashi, Hachi Amar Rav Yirmiya midifti. There is such an opinion with regard to this case where the Kohen, after doing the original Olach, he brought it back, and now the Tzar brought it closer to the Mizbech on the second Olach. Tzarech Lam Tuye. That accepts the svara that Rava mentioned, that since we desperately need a chazor lahavias adam to be makarv the dam to the mizbeach a second time, that's also considered halacha and avodas halacha, and the zar passes it. But says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that's really a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanon in our Mishnah. When I say our Mishnah, I mean the second Mishnah in the Perek, which was on Daf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah says that according to the Chachamim, a karbon could be passeled with any of four avodas, whether it's shechita, kabal sadam, halach sadam, or zrika. Rabbi Eliezer says no, that there is a case with regard to halach sadam where the machshava is not a posel, And what's the subject of this machlokes regarding halacha between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim? And the answer is Amahalech b'makom shetzorech lahalech. That there's no doubt that if after the Shechita and the Kabbalah Saddam there was an absolute necessity because of the distance between the Kabbalah Saddam and the Mizbeach to be molech the dam to the Mizbeach, there a machshava of shelo lishmo would certainly be a machshava poselis. However, what about the case of makom she'ein tzarech lahalech? If the holoch itself is unnecessary, and there he had a machshava poselis. For example, he had a machshava shelo lishma. It was a shlomim l'shem olah. So in such a case, ein hamachshava poselis. That's the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, although he agrees fundamentally to the shitas chachamim that halacha lends itself to a psul, to a machshava posel sakarbon, but he limits it to the case of tzorach lahalach, makom shetzorach lahalach. But if it's a makom she'ein tzorach lahalach and it's not absolutely necessary, then the machshava is not a machshava posel. V'yomar Rava, and Rava says hakol modim, everybody agrees, whether it's Rabbi Eliezer, whether it's chachamim, kiblo bachutz v'chniso b'fnim, if the Kabbalah Saddam was at a distance from the Mizbeach, and now there was a holocha Saddam to be makarv the dam to Mizbeach, that's a zohi lucho hiluch shetzorach lahalik, that's an absolutely indispensable holocha, and everybody agrees in such a case that the machshava poseles registers, but kiblo bifnim, if the Kabbalah Saddam was right next door to the Mizbeach, otzio lachutz, and then they brought the kli further away from the Mizbeach in the opposite direction, so he looks at ein tzarech lahalich. In this case, there was no need for the holocha. I mean, again, the Kohen actually brought the dam further away from the Mizbeach, but there was absolutely no need for holocha. Where is then the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? Elo kshechniso v'chazar v'hotzio. In other words, initially he brought the dam to the Mizbeach, and then he brought the dam outside of the Mizbeach. Okay, so the case is where the Kabbalah Saddam initially was at a distance from the Mizbeach, and then he did a halacha. But let's just review the cases where there is no machlokas and how Rav interprets the case where there is a machlokas. So the case of ein tzarech hiluch she'ein tzarech lahalich is called kiblo bifnim. The original Kabbalah Saddam was karev l'mizbeach, and therefore if he walks towards the mizbeach, which was unnecessary, everybody agrees that there's no machshava posel. So machlokas is going to be where the Kabbalah Saddam required a halacha because it was at a distance, but after he already implemented that halacha Saddam and he was machnis a Saddam l'tzana mizbech, now he took it back out. So the Chachamim hold, once the Kohen took it at a distance, then there's no way he could do this Rika Saddam tzorech lamtuyah, he has to bring back the dam in order to be zorik the dam on the mizbeach, and therefore becomes a hiluch hanitzrach, a hiluch that's necessary in the machshava poselis, and that's called tzarech laholich. Marsover, however, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion ki hiluch hatz lav ki hiluch hatzarech lavod adomi, it's not considered a holocha that we need because it was totally unnecessary for the kohen to be marchik the dam from the mizbeach. In other words, if the Kabbalah Saddam it generates a need because it was at a distance to be molech the dam, then Rabbi Eliezer says that even though he could have theoretically been mekabel the dam next to the Mizbeach, which was Rab Shimon's shita, and therefore one could argue that it's not a halacha here, he was mekabel the dam before at a distance, and even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that that's a halacha shetzorech la'avoda. But in the case where he was makabel the dam, and then he was motzi the dam, in other words, after he's already done the halacha, now he artificially and and unnecessarily, in a superfluous way, he made it necessary to do a second halacha, that's where Rabbi Eliezer holds that that's not considered a hiluch hatzorach lavoda. Just, even though befall it is a hiluch hatzorach lavoda, but it was artificially created and unnecessarily created. And therefore, in any karbon that you need the halacha in order to bring the dam from the makom shechita to the makom zrika, and if all things were left equal, you would absolutely need such a halacha. That's where Rabbi Eliezer attaches. What word am I looking for? That's where Rabbi Eliezer qualifies the halacha as an avoda. He defines, let's use the word defines, and categorizes the avoda, the halacha, as an avoda. But in a case where he's only being molech the dam because in vain and for no apparent or necessary reason they were marchik the dam, so that's a technicality. Obviously they're going to have to be molech the dam to get it towards the mizbeach, but that's not a halacha of an avoda. That's called, in Rabbi Eliezer's language, a hiluch she'eno tzorech la'avoda. And Chachamim say, on the other hand, well, he still needs the, technically, and in the reality check, he needs this holocha. Therefore, it does have a status of holocha. Now, Rava said that the carbon is possible. And what Rava meant before, when he said that the carbon was possible, and he worked it out in such a way that even if you were machshir in the first case, where the avoda was the halacha was replaced, but if the halacha was necessary at the end, then it becomes posel. That's only according to the chachamim. So again, the Rava said that in the case where the kohen was molech, and then there was a second, and after the harchokas adam, hechziro adam, harchiko adam, there was a second halacha to replace the first one. It was done by a zar, even though there was no reason, apparent reason or necessity to be marchik the dam from the mizbeach. But the second halacha now is in the physical reality is necessary, and it was done by a zar. Rabbi said it's possible. So that's only according to chachamim. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti is pointing out. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, since there was no logical reason or necessity to be marchik the dam, it becomes, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a holocha she'eno tzorech la'avoda, there's no machshava poselis. So that's just to summarize the sheet of Rava. Now the Gemara is going to reject Rava based on a brisa. Esvei Abaye. Abaye has a brisa, and the brisa says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hamahalich b'makom shetzorech lahalich machshava poseles. The brisa says, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, again, that's the key point here, that it's quoting Rabbi Eliezer, that if you need the holocha, then it's a holocha, it's an avoda, and the machshava is poseles. Keitzad kivlo bachutz hechniso bifnim. So again, initially there was a need, an absolute need for Holoch Saddam because the Kabbalah took place at a distance. And he was Moloch Saddam with Saddam Mizbech. Now it's a Hiluch Shetzorach Lahalich and a Machshav Poselis. Now we have a different case. However, Kivlo Bifnim Votzio Lachutz. It means that the original Kabbalah Saddam was Karv L'Makom Mizbeach. And then he was marchik it. That's already a hiluch she'eino tzorech, because he was marchik the dam from the mizbeach, and now he needs another hiluch. That's only a technical hiluch. But we can derive from the lashon abraisa, from the daik in the lashon abraisa of Rabbi Eliezer, that hachazer v'chniso, if he would now take the dam back and be makarv to the mizbeach, hiluch she'tzorech lahalichu. What Lamaisa Quintus Bryce is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer to be machshir, under what circumstances considered a hiluch she'eino tzorech and it's not an avoda? That's only when he was makabel adam right next to the mizbeach, and there was no need at all for hiluch from the get go. Now my impression is that even if somehow the dam was brought at a distance, it still is a hiluch she'eino tzarech. Oh, well, let me qualify what I'm saying, just to clarify this. If he was mekabel adam near the mizbeach, then there's no avodas ha'olocha. But now he was marchik it. Now, in this case that he was marchik it, there would be no psul at the moment of a hiluch ha'marchik es adam. So you've got basically two arrows over here. You have going in two different directions. If the arrow is pointing away from the Mizbeach, in other words, after the Kabbalah Saddam, the Holocha was to be marked, it was away from the Mizbeach, that's called, in Rabbi Eliezer's frame of reference, a Hiluch She'eino Tzarech Leilech. And there was no need for such a Hiluch. And therefore there's no Psul of Machsheva Shelo Lishma. However, now let's turn the arrow in the opposite direction towards the Mizbeach. And he was Chozer v'Molech. So until now, Rava was saying that since there was no need to be Marchik it, even though mechanically and technically you need, in all truth, in all reality, you need to be Makariv it and be Molech it, that's not called a Hiluch. Now we're saying, no, that would be a Hiluch. That becomes a Hiluch Shetzorach Lahalach, even according to the Chachomim. The only case of Rabbi Eliezer of Hiluch She'eino Tzorach is the case of Kiblo Bachutz, Hichniso Bifnim. He was Mekabel Adam at a Richuk Mokom from the Mizbeach. He was then Molech the Dam Lifnim, Litzad Mizbeach, and he was now Motzi Saddam Lachutz. So after the Kabbalah Saddam, and now the Dam is right next to the Mizbech, he was Motzi the Dam Lachutz. That Hotzah Saddam Lachutz is called a Hiluch She'eino Tzarech. So once the Dam is already Karav L'Mizbech, then to be Marchikid, that Harchaka is a Hiluch She'marchik Saddam, is a Hiluch She'eino Tzarech. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. But let's assume now the Dam was relocated at a distance from the Mizbeach. So again, to relocate, in the process of relocating the Dam further than the Mizbeach, that process is not a Hiluch. And there's no Machshava Posel. But in the process now, once the damage was done to bring the Dam back towards the Mizbeach, that's already a Hiluch Shetzorech, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, although the Harchaka was unnecessary. And as a result of this quote on the part of Abaye of a Braisa, Rava rescinds his original position. Omole, Rava says to Abaye, Itanya, if you have a Braisa, Tanya. I mean, if there's a Braisa, there's a Braisa. I can't disagree with a Braisa. Now, let's now summarize Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim based on this Braisa. Both of them would agree that whenever he's being makariv the dam to the mizbeach in order to do the zrika, that's called a holocha, that's called an avoda and machshav and poselispa. The only disagreement, therefore, or shall I say, the only reason why Rabbi Eliezer got up and he presented a different view, and he was cholik on the chachamim, is not according, not really the chachamim, but rather he was cholik with Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds that holocha in general is mufka, is completely excluded from machshava posels, because efshal levatla, if you remember that svar, meaning he could have been mekabel adam next to the mizbeach. Holocha is therefore just a technical, mechanical action. Rabbi Eliezer certainly rejects that. Rabbi Eliezer holds there is a status of holocha as an avoda and a machshava shalol lishma poselis ba. Just to summarize the final maskona, based on Abaye's proof from the Braisa, there's no machlok shin Rabban and Rabbi Eliezer. And then we could say that Rabbi Eliezer in our mission is coming to be mafarish to explain the Shitas Tanakama, the Rabbanan, who argue against Rabbi Shimon. And they hold that as long as we need this halacha, for whatever reason it is, based on the reality and the mitzvahs that we have, that becomes an avodas halacha and machshava poselas po. Hadron alecha kol hazvachim. It's a little bit of a simcha here that we finished the first perek, but let's, without delay, immediately begin an introduction to the second parak. The Mishnah is going to discuss Kabbalas Adam, which is the second of the four avodos, which means that the Kohen holds on to the klishores right underneath the tzavar ha-behema, and he's makabel adam, which comes out of the tzavar, not to be zorik the dam al mizbeach. And the Mishnah wants to clarify and enumerate which people are completely excluded from Kabbalas Adam, and for that matter, the psul or any of the psul mentioned over here, like Balmum, etc., would apply not just to Kabbalas Adam, but to all four avodos. Now, the Mishnah's language is kolas vachim, meaning any korban of a behema which has to be shechted with a knife, as to the exclusion of ophos. Ophos birds are not called, like we spoke about chatesof the other day, are not called zvachim, and they're subject not to zvicha or shchita, but rather to malika. And there is no kabbalas adam in ophos. Why? Because the nesinas dam of the mizbeach is done from the gufa of itself, from the body of the oaf, and that's going to be the sugya of Chatos Oaf later on, and Daf Samach Daled Amud Beis that we've been referring to in the past. Now, the Gemara later on in Daf Lamed Beis is going to derive from Sukkim that all Avodas Adam are subject to the requirement of Ksherim, but that's from Kabbalas Adam V'Elech, meaning as opposed to Shechita, Shechita's Kshera Bizar. So let's now learn the Mishnah and enumerate a long list of psulim for Kabbalas Adam. It says the following. Kol Hazvach Shekibu Domam Zar. Okay, so now we have the case of a non-Kohen. Okay. Then we have a bigger chiddush, the case of Onen, which means a person who lost one of his seven krovim that he's chayv in Avelus, for example, Ishto, Oviv, Imo, Ochiv, Achoso, Bino, Bito, Rachmano Litzlan. And in all these cases, before Kvura, the status of the Ovel is that of an Onen. And we're going to see that in the Parsha of Maaseh Sheni, the Torah excludes an Onen. And Aninos applies for the first day, even after Kvura. That first day of the Misa generates the status of Aninos, the Onen. And the Onen is completely excluded from Avodas HaKorbonos, even though he's a Kohen. Now this only applies to Kohen Hedged, by the way. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avoda even if he is an Onen, and that's a Sugin Horios, which we're going to touch on here on Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, because there's a source in the Torah for the fact that, and this is going to be the parsha of Aaron with Nadav Avidu, is the death of his two sons, that a Kohen Gadol is kosher even be'aninus. Now we move on to the cases of Tumah. We have Tvul Yom. Okay, now Tvul Yom means a Tomei, like for example someone who was Nogea B'Sheretz, or he had contact with a dead body. So his status of Tumah does not require a Karbon, as opposed to Mechusa Kippurim, which is the next category, but he, as long as he's Tomei, and he hasn't achieved what's called Harev Shimsho, meaning he's allowed to be Tovel on the very day that he's Metair himself, but he has to wait for the purification process to be complete until after the sun sets. That's called a Tful Yom. And there are many sugyas in Masechet Brachos that we touched upon with regard to a Tful Yom. But here, since there was no Erev Shemesh, he's still a Tful Yom, he's still Tomei. Therefore, his avoda is an avoda psula. Now, this halach applies also, you should know, with regard to truma. A kohen can, and that's the beginning of Shas, the kohen cannot eat from truma in if he's in a state of tumah, and even if he was mitayr himself, but he has to wait to erev shemsho till the end of the day, let's say till after shkia. The Torah says in Vayikra Chafes, who ba shemesh v'toyer the achar yochal min hakodshim. Now we don't know what the status of the korban is if the avoda was done by a zar, if it was done by an onein, if it was done by a tful yom. All this is going to come up later in the sugyas on tezayin, on yitzayin, to try to clarify what's the source in the Torah for the avoda being pasul. That's a more challenging question. And then the Mishnah says v'umechusar kipurim, mechusar kipurim, which refers to a zav zova yoledes umitzora. These are tmeim that need a final process, a clincher, to be mitire them from their tumah, and that is to bring their karbana. Sometimes they have to bring a whole series of karbanas, but one karban might be sufficient at least to clinch the tara. But as long as the tara hasn't been brought yet, that's called mechusar kipurim, as long as the karban hasn't been brought, they remain in the state of tameh. They can't eat from kodesh, and they can't do any avoda b'kodshim. Again, that's not going to be relevant in the case of Zavan Yoledes, because they don't have the status of a Kohen Kosher. But let's say a Kohen became a Zav, or he became a Mitzora, he has to bring a Karban after he's done every other step of Tara purification, and until that Karban is brought, they're excluded completely from the Avoda. They still have a state of Tmeim, of Tamet. Then we have the next case. Umechusar begodim. Now this splits into two. In the case of a Kohen Hedjot, he needs to be lovesh for begodim at the time of the avodah, bigdei kohuna. That's ksones, mechnasayim, mitznefes, and avneit. The Kohen Gadol needs to wear another additional four begodim, means eight begodim. The other four to add to the ksones, mechnasayim, mitznefes, and avneit is the tzitz, the choshen, the ephod, and the me'il. And this psul of mechusar begodim includes within it all other psulim that are relevant to bigdei kohuna. Because the flip side would be yisur begodim. Let's say he has too many begodim on. He's got to wear exactly the begodim that the Torah prescribes. And there is a sugya, mesechta chulin, as far as treif is concerned, which is considered kol yeser kenotol dami. That if you had too many, it's considered as if you don't have any. Also, we can talk about a chisaron shlemus, which means supposing one of his begonim are ripped. That's also a sugya later on in daf yud ches. And im chiser negiosim b'psor, if there's a chatzitza between his body and the begodim. All these are cases of mechusar begodim. So mechusar begodim is a kind of an all-inclusive umbrella terminology. Now we have the case where the Kohen was makabel adam and lo rochatz, lo rechutz yodayim v'raglayim. The din is that a Kohen, before he does the avodah, he goes to the kiyar, and he does kiddush yadayim v'raglayim to cleanse himself, and that's a maisa kiddush, which is machshir the kohen for the avodah. It's an absolute indispensable prerequisite for the avodah, and it must be done in a kli shareis, which has kodesh to it, not a kli chol. And the kli kiddush, which is a kli shareis called the kiyar, is outside of the azara. And in the absence of a karbon, I'm sorry, in the absence of kiddush yadayim raglayim from a kli shareis, the kohen is posel avod. The next category is an orel. An orel is a kohen who has not subjected himself to a bris milah. And although he did all that's necessary, he did the rechitzas yadayim v'raglayim from Mea Kiyar, nevertheless, he is still excluded from avoda as an orel. And Rashi says that what kind of orel are we dealing with? We're dealing with a case of Mesu Echav Machmas Hamila. He had two brothers that died as a result of the Bris Mila, and therefore he's considered to be like a hemophiliac, meaning we're afraid that he might die as a result of the Mila. But nevertheless, even though these were mitigating circumstances, he still is considered an Orel with regard to the Avodas HaKorbanos. And we mentioned the case of a Tomei before, we mentioned now the case of a Yoshev, I think we've touched on this in the past, he was Mekabel Adam in a state of yeshiva, or for example, he was Omer al Gabi Kalim, there was a Chatzitza between his feet and the Ritzpas HaZora, or not just Kalim, or al Gabi Behema, al Gabi Ragle Chavero, all these cases where there was a Chatzitza between his Raglayim and the Ritzpah, that itself generates a psul in the Avodah. And finally, just to finish, is Kibel Biyad Smol. If he was Makabel the Dam while he was holding the Klishores in his left hand, Pasal Koink Tanakama of Amishna, the Avoda is Psula, and Rabbi Shimon holds that the Avoda is Avoda Kshera. And Mir Tashem, we'll get to the Sugi later on, that explains the Machlokas here between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim regarding Kabbalah the Smol, and whether it passes the carbon. Now, it's interesting to note that in the case of an Orel, where it's a Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore he's Potumi Mila, he still has the status of an Orel, as we mentioned before. And this is Rashi Shita in many different places in Shas. And it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya Simon, Reish Samach Gimel. However, Tosus disagrees in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, and he thinks that the Mishnah has in mind the case of someone who's afraid of Mila, and therefore he wasn't Mal. And the Achronim tried to explain that Rashi holds that the psul of Orel is not a result of violation of the Chiyuv Mila, but just because he's Mos Lemizbeach. The fact that he has the Orel, that's sort of an anti-force with regard to the Mizbeach. And the Gemara later on is going to quote a Pasuk, Orel Basa Mishum Demoetz, that the Torah disqualifies an Orel for the Mizbeach because he's Moetz. So even though he's Potur, he's an Anus, these are certainly mitigating circumstances beyond his control. Nevertheless, in reality, he's Mos, he has the Orel. He didn't experience, he wasn't subjected to Mitosis on the other hand hold, that in the case of an Anus, that the circumstances prevented him from doing Mila, he's not called Mos. Okay, fine. Now, I wanted to call to your attention a point here in Tosus, which is elaborated on in the Achronim about the structure of our Mishnah. And this is called Zu V'Ein Tzorech Lomar Zu, meaning the bigger Chiddush comes first. Right, sometimes it's lo zu af zu, and the bigger chiddush comes second. Here it's the reverse. Zu, v'ein tzorech lomar zu. So first the Mishnah tells us that a tful yom is posel avoda. And then the Mishnah goes, right, and then the Mishnah mentions tomei later on. And in a sense, you might ask that tomei is totally unnecessary. You know, once you mention that a tful yom was already partially tar, then how much more so full-fledged tummy? And the reason why the Mishnah goes ahead and uses this style of zu v'ein tzorech lomar zu is because each case is derived from a different derivation, a different pasuk. And if he would have mentioned tummy first and then tful yom, then he wouldn't be able to mention tummy right next to contiguous to orel. And we're going to see that Tomei and Orel go together, and they, you know, like horse and carriage, and many of their dinim are equivalent. Now let's just begin the sugya itself. The Gemara wants to know, Zarmi Nolan, what's the source? And we're starting the Mishnah from the top, that a Zar, who is Mekabel Sadam B'Avodah, is Posel.
After all, in the case of Shkita, we said that Shkita is Ksheira Bizar. And the Gemara quotes a brisa which Levi brought to our attention. The Tani Levi, based on the parasha that enjoins Kohanim that from doing the Avodah during their Tumah, which is a parasha in Vayikra, Perek Chof Beis. And there, in the context of Tumah, it says, Daber el Aaron v'el bono v'inozru mikodshe b'nei Yisrael. That's in Pasuk Beis. The next Pasuk, Pasuk Gimel, says, V'kol isha sher yikrav mikol zarachem el akodshim v'tumoso olav, etc. So we're definitely talking about Aaron Velbonov, that they should avoid the Mizbeach when they're in a state of Tumah. So how does the Gemara now, in the name of Levi, and the Brisa quoted by Levi, derive from this Pasuk anything about Zar? And the answer is, the Gemara is of the opinion, this Brisa, that there are two words, there's a phrase here that's absolutely superfluous and totally unnecessary, and that is B'nei Yisrael. Why not just say V'nozru Me'akodshim, that a Tomei should be stay away from Kodshim? And apparently the Torah seems to be saying that B'nei Yisrael, and only B'nei Yisrael, what does that mean? That they should be poreish from the Kodshim of B'nei Yisrael? Amute Mai, is there some korban where a Tomei is allowed to be makriv the korban v'tuma? Ilema lemute noshim. Let's say, for example, a woman brings a korban. Are you going to tell me that she's not included in B'nei Yisrael? Because B'nei Yisrael below B'nos Yisrael. And therefore, the Kohen, who's Tomei, is allowed to be makriv the korban of an Isha? The Gemara rejects this outright. Korban noshim b'tuma korev? Can you actually entertain the possibility that a Kohen who's Tomei, is going to be makriv the korban of an Isha? That doesn't make any sense. Why would the korban of an Isha have the power to trump the Isra of Avodah B'tumah, to overpower the Avodah B'tumah, and you know, you want the korban to be meratzeh. So reaching korban depends upon korban v'tara. All the Avodah in the Mikdash has to be done by a Kohen Tor. So what are you telling me, that in the case of a Korban Noshim, we're going to lower our standards and there's going to be a Korban Betumah? The Gemara is not willing to tolerate such a Havamina Ella. But rather, when the Torah says B'nei Yisrael, Lim'ute is coming to exclude the Korban of an Oved Kochavim. That if a guy brings a Korban, let's say, for example, a guy could bring a korban ola, that's a sugyan chulin on daf yud gimel amid beis, based on the pasuk in Vayikra chav beis, ish asher yakriv korban lechol nidrehem lechol nidvosehem. And the extra word ish in this pasuk, it says ish twice, is coming to teach us that even a guy could be makriv a korban binidava, and that's a korban ola. So now you're going to tell me that the Kohen Tomei is allowed to be makriv this Korban Ola, this Olas Nadav on behalf of Goy? Is hashta. The Gemara has a Kalva Chomer now. Sitz lo meratze. If a guy brings a korban and the chalev and the dam were tomei, or one of the two was tomei, the tzitz has no power to be meratzeh, to be machshir such a korban in the case of a guy. That's unique to the case of a korban of a guy, as we'll clarify. The Omar Ma, we have a brisa, and this is brought down later on in Daf Mem Hei, that be ovdei kochavim bein b'shogi bein b'mezid lo hurtza, if the chalev of the dam became tomei, and it matters not whether it was the mezid or b'shogi, in all cases lo hurtza, the korban is not kosher. Is bituma Karev? Could it be possible that the Kohen could be makir of such a Karev Betuma? It's a Kolshke. In the case of a Karban Shel Yisrael, okay, that has to do with a Karban Yachid Shel Yisrael, but we're not going to get into that now. The status of a Karban Yachid of Yisrael is superior. It surpasses that of a Karban Akum. And that's because, in what context is the Karban of Yisrael superior to that of an Akum? It's because the tzitzis meratzeh on tumas chelev adam. And yet in the case of Guy, who brings his Karban olav in a dova, the tzitzis not meratzeh al tumas chelev adam. It's clear, therefore, that the Kohen, if he's tameh, he cannot be makriv the Karban of an Akum. But let's go over some of the basics again. If you have a Karban and the Dam became Tomei, it's possible for Zrika, but if he went ahead and he was Zorik, let's say in the case of a Shogeg, he didn't realize that the Dam was Tomei, which is the Sheet of Ravina as opposed to Rav Shila. In any event, Rav Shila says that even if the Kohen was aware of the Tumas Adam when he did the Zrika, the tzitz is still Maratza, which means that the Kohen Gadol is wearing a tzitz on his head, and through the power, the magical power of the tzitz, the Zrika Adam generates a Ritzui. And that allows us to go ahead and be Makhtar the Murva, the Karban, Tidus Basar, and he's Yotze Yidechova, and so forth and so on. Again, according to Ravina, if this whole process of Zrikas Adam was done b'mezer, the Kohen was fully aware of the fact that the Adam was nifsal as a result of Tumah, then there's no din of Tzitz Meratzah. Tzitz is only Meratzah on a Shogeg, not on a Mezid. Rav Shila is of the opinion that Tzitz is even Meratzah on a Mezid. But in any event, this is only applicable to a Karban of Yisrael, not to a Karban of an Akum. And in the case of Yisrael, where the Torah was even more lenient and gave power for the tzitz to be meratzeh, that doesn't help us if the Kohen himself was tameh. And if in the case of Goy there's no power of tzitz meratzeh at all, even in tumas dam or tumas chelev, then how much more so there's no possibility of ritzu if the Kohen himself is tameh. Now, in Shmos Perek Chof Ches, with regard to Ritzui Tzitz, the Torah says, "V'nosa Aaron es avon hakodshim asher yakdishu bnei Yisrael." And then the pasuk says, "V'hayal metzcho tomid l'rotzon lahem l'fnei Hashem." And the Rashi says that the word lahem is coming to exclude ovdei kochavim. So tzitz is meratzah only on behalf of Yisrael, not on behalf of an akum. So again, we come back to ask the question then, why did the Torah in Vayikachov Beis, Dabrel B'nei Yisrael Aaron, Vel Bonavi Nozu Bikodshe B'nei Yisrael, why did it say B'nei Yisrael? Ella, but rather, Hachikomer, this is what the pasuk means to say when it says Daber el Aaron vel bonav inozu mikodshe, they should be marchik themselves if they became tomei from any avod of karban. And then in addition to that, Bnei Yisrael should be marchik themselves from being oved in akrobas hakodshe, even if they're not tomei, even if it's a zar who's tar, v'lo yechalalu, so that they won't be mechal the karban. In other words, if we don't separate Zorim from Avodas HaKodshim, if we're going to allow them and invite them to do the Avodah, then they're going to be Mechalel the Avodah and Pasol the Karban. That's how we're learning this Pasuk. Now the Gemara is about to quote the Bei Rabbi Yishmael, and that's the Beis Medrash Rabbi Yishmael, is a different Braisa with a different source for the fact that a Zar is enjoined from doing Avodah. And apparently, the Gemara doesn't clarify this at this point, Rabbi Yishmael did not accept the drasha of Bnei Yisrael v'lo yechal. Therefore, as a substitute, Asya b'kal v'chomer mi bal mum, he derives the status of a zar
and the chiyuv of the avoda as a result of the fact that the Tzar did the avoda from a kal v'chomer from Baal Mum, Ma Baal Mum she'ochel, the din is that with regard to kodshei kodshim, a Baal Mum is allowed to eat from the carbon. He's not kosher le'avoda, but he's allowed to eat from the carbon. And this is derived from a pasuk: Ach el haparoches lo yavo v'el mizbech lo yigash ki mumbo v'lo yechel chalal es mikdashi. In other words, if he's nigash, if he comes close to do the avoda, he's mechalal the avoda. And yet, paradoxically, the Baal Mum is allowed to eat from kodshei kodshim. And yet, im avad chilel, he's mechal yavod if he does yavod. The zar, and here we're turning to tefsayin omid aleph, she'eno ochel, he cannot eat from kodshei kodshim in any case. And the Torah designates certain parts of the karbonos for zikre kohuna. In kodshei kodshim, it's exclusively zikre kohuna. In kodshim kalim, there are parts of the karbon that have to be eaten by zikre kohuna, and the zar is excluded. Yizeno din shim avad chilul, how much more so his avoda is mechulo. And the Gemara now suggests a pircha to this kal v'chomer mala Baal Mum. Baal Mum is mechal as avoda shekein osa bo karev kimakriv. The psul of Baal Mum applies not only to the kohen who does the avoda, but also to the behema, to the carbon itself. The carbon, if the behema receives a mum, is posul le mizbeach. So you see how much of a rejection force there is between the Mizbeach and Mum. Torah is very machmir with regard to Mum. It's not only the Makriv, but it's also the Karev, the behemoth that's Nikrav. In contrast to Zorus, Zorus is only a psul in the Makriv, but not in the behemoth. There's no such thing as an animal that's a Zar. So therefore we cannot derive any dinim of Chil Avoda with a Kal V'chomer from Baal Mum to Zar, because the Torah is more machmir in the case of Baal Mum than it is in the case of a Zar. And we're up to now Tomei Yochiach, because in the case of Tomei, a Kohen Tomei who does the Avodah is Mechal as Avodah, that's based on the pasuk that we discussed earlier, the Nazru V'lo Yechalru, and yet the Psul of Tumah is not relevant to the psul of tumah is not relevant to the behema hakreva. A behema, there's no dinim of tumah v'tara with regard to behema. All dinim of tumah v'tara are regard to human beings. So the psul of tumah is only the kohen hamakriv. There's nothing in the karev in the behema itself that parallels tumah, that has a psul tumah. So from Tomei we could certainly prove that a Zar could be Machal the Avoda. Gemara says that Tomei Yochiach. The Gemara is not saying that Tomei is going to teach me Zar. We're going back to Baal Mum, because Baal Mum was the basis for the Kal V'chomer. In the case of Baal Mum, we saw that a Baal Mum is allowed to eat from kodshei kodshim. How much more so if he's mechal as avoda, should a zar who's enjoined from eating kodshei kodshim be mechal as his avoda? You'll tell me, but wait a minute, maybe Baal Mum has a separate chumra because it's both the makriv and the karev. Is then Tomei Yochiach? I'll prove from Tomei, because there's no status of Tomei with regard to the behemoth, so there's no karev in the case of behemoth. Now you might ask, well, a behemoth, although as long as it's alive, it doesn't have tumah, but the dead carcass of an animal, the nevela, is mitame. So we're going to have to assume the Gemara is proving from behemoth b'chayeha. And you see that again, the chumra of Baal Mum, namely that it applies, it's a category that applies equally to the karev, that's not true for Tomei. So you can't tell me that the reason why a Baal Mum is mechal as avoda is because this category of Baal Mum applies as well to the karev, because Tomei is mechal as avoda. as we saw, v'lo yechalalu, and yet a tome, the tuma is not a category that applies to the karev, to the behema. So now, basically, unless we find another chumer in tome, in comparison to zar, we're going to derive our original kavachom will be valid from balmum to zar. And don't pinpoint the chumra of karev because we've mixed that as a result of tome. But now the Gemara says, wait a minute, tome also has a chumra. Why? Mala tome shekein mitame achirim. Maybe the Torah was more machmir and it apostles the avoda of a tome because we see the Torah was machmir in that tome has an active power to be mitame achirim, meaning the. There is a transfer of contamination from the tummy to something else. So then, you know, it's not fair to introduce tummy over here into the picture because tummy's machal is avoda. We have the reason, the logic for that is because tummy is a tremendous chumra, that it's a contagious kind of tumor. But let's go back to Balmum. Now, Balmum doesn't have that chumra because Balmum cannot impart his status as a Balmum through contagion to anybody else. V'chazar adin, and therefore the Gemara suggests that we have to introduce a tzara shov. Only when we join the forces of a Balmum together with a tameh can we derive zar. Why? Lo roi zek, lo roi zek, lo roi zek. In other words, each case, whether it's Balmum or Tomei, has its own chumrah that doesn't exist in the other case. So we're going to be able to join forces and create a tzara shava. In both cases of Balmum and Tomei, we have a musharim that the Torah enjoins them from doing the avodah. And not only that, v'im avdu chilulo. Chilu means that machal their avodah. Afani avi zar shehu muzar. We know the zar is excluded, he's enjoined from doing the avodah. The Gemara is going to try to clarify that in just a minute. What's the source for that? V'im avar chilul, he too should be machal his avodah since he's enjoined from doing the avodah. And then the Gemara is going to ask me nolan dim muzar. And at this point, the Gemara thinks that if you'll raise the objection that Balmum has a chumra, in that a Balmum is karev, even it applies even to the karev, then Tommy will prove that chumra alone is not going to justify the chil avoda. If you'll argue against Tommy that there's a chumra because Tommy is mitame, then what are you going to do with Balmum? Balmum has no, there's no contagious element in the case of Balmum. So each one, Tomei and Balmum, has its own chumra. When we join together, we see that we can create a tzadah shav and completely deflect these two chumras. The Gemara says, Minon de Muzar, what's the source for Tani Bei Rabbi Shmuel's assumption that there's an azhara, there's a lotaseh that enjoins the zar from doing the avodah? And that's what the Gemara is going to analyze right now. So we'll stop here at this point. Let's just make a note of where we got to. We're on the Tazayin of an Aleph, the beginning of the second Perek. And we basically achieved, let's say, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The first 7-8 lines, Minolan de Muzar. And Blineda, that's where we'll pick it up in the next sheet. Okay, and again, I apologize for any background noise that may have, hopefully they didn't have too much of a damaging effect.